to the world. So God is good, and I'm excited to share that with you. Well, we have been talking about five keys to spiritual growth, and last week we talked about the subject of prayer, that we have the privilege of having a conversation with God, and today we're talking about experiencing transformation through God's Word. I want you to just take a minute and think about, and you can't think about everything, but just in your mind's eye in a moment, think about everything you hear and read during any given day. What does that include? Hopefully it includes your Bible. Probably includes some type of news source, most likely online. It may be news stories on TV. Every single day, we constantly hear and see and read what's going on in our world today. Many of you, I'm sure, are aware of the tragic story of the family here in our community in Indianapolis on the near northeast side, where a 17-year-old son murdered his family, his father and his mother, his older brother and his girlfriend, who was pregnant at the time, his younger sister, and one sibling that managed to get away was shot as he was running from the house. And I think of the heartbreak of how that could happen. And I watched the news story, and when they finally charged him as an adult, you learn more about this young man. But one of the striking things in that story to me was the fact that he was very involved with, I don't know if it was a gang or not, but a group of young men who were really into this kind of gangster violent rap. And they did videos of themselves, posted them online, and in those videos, most of them had weapons. And this young man was, they had to bleep out every other word, so it kind of gives you the gist of that. But these songs that they were rapping were all about violence, about killing people, about unloading the magazine of bullets from their weapon. And they discovered that they're pretty sure that the weapons that they found in the house that he used to basically mow down his whole family and kill them were the same ones that were being used in those videos. The thing that was interesting to me was after they talked about that, they interviewed an African-American pastor, probably 40-something, that lives in that area, in that community, and he talked about the concern that young people don't realize how much they are influenced by the words and the lyrics that they hear in certain types of music or the things that they subscribe to. And he said, words can dramatically affect your actions and your behavior. In fact, he was starting, I think in February, at his church a midweek class called The Words Behind the Music. And he was saying that we don't realize how much influence what we hear, what we see, what we read affects the way that we act and live. Now, back when my kids were teenagers in the early 90s, there was a group that became popular at Greenwood High School called Insane Clown Posse. If any of you know anything about them, kind of scary looking guys. And so I decided, well, I need to look into this, and I listened to some of it, and it was horrible. I mean, so much anger and violence that was just oozing out of that music. And I mean, just to even look at the guys that were doing it, you got this sense of evil. Well, I made a decision as a father to my teenage kids, you are not listening to Insane Clown Posse. And here are the reasons why. And they were willing to do that, and I'm grateful today. They'd probably be embarrassed to even have me say anything about that, but it was really important to me because, you know, not all songs are the same, not all movies are the same, not all books are the same. The words in those songs, the words in those movies, the words in those books can shape and influence a person's mind. One of the unique things about us being created in the image of God is our ability to communicate at a high level. All the other animals in creation, they have a little bit of ability to communicate, but not at the kind of level that we do as human beings. We can learn vast amounts of information. You would be amazed at how much information is stored away in your mind from what you have read, what you've heard, what you've learned, what you've watched. We can process that information, and then we can be shaped by the words that we hear, the words that we read, the words that we remember. Whether you realize it or not, you are constantly feeding your mind. Now, on my bookshelves, I have hundreds of books. I have not read all of them. But the reason that I have those books is because words shape our minds and our thinking. They not only educate us and teach us, but they influence us. So I want to make sure that the things that I read are things that will build up my mind. In ancient civilizations, they didn't have books. In most of the Old Testament times, they did not have books. Learning was passed down primarily orally, which meant that parents, fathers and mothers, taught their children. What was written down, basically in Old Testament times, for example, was written on parchment made from plants. It was called papyrus. Or it was written on cured animal skins. The Torah, the Jewish law, was written on sheepskins that had been dried and meticulously copied. But those records, they were only used by rulers and priests, and the copies that were meticulously made were preserved, but the average family did not have a sheepskin scroll that they would unfold. They didn't have a parchment that had the laws or the words of God written on them. Jewish scribes, all through Old Testament times and into Christian times, and later Christian monks, they would spend their whole lives copying the original documents. When it talks about every jot and tittle, maybe you have heard that expression in the Bible, it's talking about every specific marking in the Hebrew alphabet. They would meticulously make sure that they preserved those documents, and they would pass those documents down from generation to generation. But not very many people, for hundreds of years, actually for the first couple, almost 1,400 years of human history, they did not have access to written material. They didn't have a Bible that they could read. They didn't have a bookstore that they could go to. So it's interesting when you start reading through the Bible, and I never noticed this before, but the Bible speaks about hearing, like hearing God's word, hearing God's commands, speaks about hearing 1,700 times. It speaks about listening 412 times. Reading is only mentioned 79 times. And it's like Ezra standing up and reading the law to all the people. Or the Ethiopian eunuch who's traveling in a chariot and meets Philip, and this is in Jesus' time, and he's reading the scripture of Isaiah. So in those times, they were hearing God's word read by those who had access to it. They were passing down to their children and their children's children the oral traditions and laws that they had been taught, and they would pass them down to their families. It really wasn't until the 1400s and the invention of the printing press that Bibles became more readily available to the common, ordinary people, as well as other historical records and writings that began to be printed and reproduced. In fact, the words that shaped people's minds, formed their opinions, changed their attitudes and thoughts, and even transformed how they lived their lives were generally, up until a point in time, only the words that they heard. Now, that gave clergy tremendous power. And up until the inventing of the printing press, mostly only priests had access to a copy of Scripture. And they would read it in their church services in Latin, whether or not the congregation understood Latin or not. So there was this radical change and revolution that came in history where printed word was available. And words do shape our minds. They form our opinions. They change our attitudes and thoughts. They transform our lives. So what you put in your mind shapes your mind for good or bad. It just does. There's no neutrality in that. What you put in your mind, one way or another, has an impact on you. And in our day, that might be what you read in a book. It might be a blog that you see online and that you follow. It might be a newspaper or a magazine, whether that's in print form or online. Think about what you hear and what you listen to. Now, in our day and age, we have a name for people who create a following via Instagram or blogs or video, etc. They're called influencers. There's people that have their own YouTube channels that have lots of people that follow them. They're influencing by what they put out there on the computer screen. Words influence people. your thought processes, which in turn impact your behavior and your actions, are shaped by what you hear and read. And I think we need to realize that, because, you know, we like to think, well, I form my own opinions and I make my own decisions. Well, in part that's true, but you make those decisions and you form those opinions by what you read and what you hear. And that's why the Bible puts so much emphasis on hearing and listening to God's Word. And now that we can read and we can read the Bible and we have access to the Bible, that's included in that. Hearing God's Word, listening to God's Word, reading God's Word. God's Word, His truth, that is applied through the Spirit to our mind, to your mind, to my mind, that is transformative. And I think we lose sight of the fact, well, the Bible's just a nice book to read. No, it's words that are transformative. They change our lives. They change our thinking. I mean, you've probably heard expressions like, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. School teachers probably like to quote that. You are what you think. Garbage in, garbage out. What we feed our mind, from what we see, to what we hear, to what we read, all of that shapes our lives, and it either propels us forward to things that are good and beautiful and wholesome and productive. It either brings light into us, or it pulls us downward into what is evil, ugly, hurtful, destructive, or dark. And so Scripture speaks volumes about things like knowledge and wisdom, truth, and the Word. Here's just a couple of examples that show how truth has the power to transform. In John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying for his disciples, and by virtue of praying for them, was also praying for us, he says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And what Jesus is praying is that the word sanctify means to set apart or to make holy. Jesus is saying, praying for us, make them the unique, holy individuals that they are intended to be. Make them people who are set apart for good and purity and wholeness. It's the truth that originates in God and is embodied in the spoken and written word of God that transforms us into the kind of people that we are meant to be. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." True freedom, whether it's freedom from fear, freedom from self-centeredness, freedom from the opinions of others, freedom from destructive, sinful behavior, comes not merely from the truth, it comes from the knowledge of the truth. And God wants us to know the truth. You can't be set free by something that you don't know. God wants us to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Then, and Paul wrote in Romans 12, 2, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Your life, your mind, your attitudes, your behavior can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Life transformation comes through the renewal of the mind. So one of the key spiritual disciplines, one of the keys to spiritual growth in our life, is reading, listening to, studying the Scriptures. And we've already talked about and encourage you to find a Bible reading plan this year. And some of you have shared what you're doing in that regards. Because the renewal of our mind, the spiritual renewal of our mind, doesn't just happen by osmosis. We don't just like put a book under our pillow, and maybe you tried that in high school for when you had a science test the next day. It doesn't work. You don't absorb things that way. The renewal of our mind comes through reading, seeking to understand things, thinking about things, reflecting on things, and applying the principles and the truth that we find revealed to us in Scripture. Now, some of you might be thinking, I do not like to read, and I have a really hard time reading. Not everybody likes to read. That doesn't let us off the hook, because we live in a day and age where we can listen. There are Bible apps galore that will read the Bible to you. I just saw an advertisement on TV the other day for an app where James Earl Jones reads the entire Bible to you. I mean, how much better can it get than to have somebody with a deep, resounding voice. I can't even imitate him. Read the Bible to you. I mean, there you can go almost anywhere and click on something, whether it's in your car or at home or through your computer. There are apps that there's YouTube. You can go on YouTube and find Bible reading programs, and you can listen to it. You know, it used to be audio thing. Well, if you wanted to listen to the Bible, you could get the whole Bible on cassette tape. Imagine how cumbersome that would be. You know, how many cassette tapes do you have to put in and then flip over? And then CDs, that was a little bit better, but you still had a bunch of CDs. Now, there's an app for it. There's lots of apps for it that you can, and you don't just have to read it. Someone will read it to you. So you can be driving in the car and you can listen to the Bible being read to you. Well, I want you to take a minute, and we're going to take just a few minutes to look at Psalm 119. And this is the longest psalm in the Bible. And it speaks primarily about God's Word. And so I want you to turn to Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, or find it on your Bible app, and I will read it to you. And this portion of Psalm 119 asks some questions and then gives us the answer. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So if you look at this psalm, I think it answers three questions. The first one is this: how do you keep your life pure? There's so much junk out there, so much stuff that can pollute our minds and pollute our hearts. How do you keep your life pure? That's one of the questions that this psalm answers. How do you stay on the right track? You know, where you don't veer off to the left or you don't veer off to the right. How do you stay on track spiritually? How do you keep from doing wrong? Psalm 119 answers those questions. And here's the answers. You live according to God's word. You store God's truth away in your heart. You recount God's laws. It means you rehearse in your mind those things that you've learned about God's principles and his commands. It means that you remind yourself. You remind yourself of God's laws. You follow in God's ways. You meditate on, you think about, you consider God's truth. You don't neglect the word of God. And so all through this, that's what you see in just this short passage. You live according to by living according to God's word, by hiding his word in our heart, by asking God to teach us his ways, by recalling and reciting and recounting God's truth, by following his statutes or his commands, by meditating, that means thinking about his precepts, by considering his ways. And that's the value of reading God's word or listening to God's word on a Bible app and then thinking about it, because God's word can change our lives. God's word can change our lives. It gives us new life. It makes us clean because it displaces all of the stuff that shouldn't be there. It energizes our faith. It helps us to grow. It illuminates our mind. It lifts our spirits. I came across, and I had written down some of these things, but I didn't realize that Navigators, if you're familiar with that organization, Navigators has a practical method for learning the Bible and renewing your mind. It's called the word hand. So if you take your hand like this, you have five fingers, and it goes like this. You hear God's word, you read God's word, You study God's Word, you memorize God's Word, and you meditate on God's Word. And there's scriptures that pertain to each of that. Romans 10, verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." You hear God's Word. That's why it's important. You know, people say, "Well, I don't need to listen to a preacher talk. I can just read my Bible myself." Now, there's a benefit to hearing God's Word read and taught and explained. You hear God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And I want to say to those of you who are parents or even grandparents, your kids need to hear God's Word at home. One of the memories I have was that every night after dinner growing up, my dad would read us a Bible story, or he'd read us a scripture out of the Bible, and then we would pray together as a family. Kids need to hear, because we hear so much stuff out there. I mean, I'm surprised how much my grandsons know about popular music and things like that. And they have access to it because now they all have little Chromebooks, little computers that they use for their learning at school, especially when they're home. They have their own email accounts at 8, 9, and almost 11. They have their own, he is 11 now. They have their own email accounts. That just boggles my mind. I didn't have an email account in college. There was no email when I was in college. They have access to all of this stuff. Kids need to hear it at home, whether that's putting on an audio Bible or whatever. Several weeks ago, I took three of my grandsons, Jude, Simon, and Oliver, over to the 100 Acre Woods or Park, which is part of the Indianapolis Museum of Arts grounds. And they got a great trail that goes back through the woods and loops around the lake, and we had a good time. We get back in the car, and Simon wanted to look up something to, well, I'll back up a little bit. We're walking back, and he said, "Grandpa, what's your favorite psalm?" And that kind of took me back, and I named a couple of them. And he said, "Well, my favorite psalm right now is Psalm 25. And I said, "Oh, really?" And he even told me a little bit about what it was. He said, "Let me have your phone." And I'm thinking, before, usually when they want my phone when we're in the car, they want to look up some song so that they can play it through the Bluetooth. And sometimes we have to change those songs. But he said, "No, I want to look at this." So he goes on YouTube on my cell phone, and he finds some kind of Bible app, and he looked up Psalm, I think it was Psalm 25, and he starts playing it. And all the way home, and the person who was reading it in the King James Version, which is not maybe that kid-friendly in some ways. Simon was just like, "Okay," and he asked me for another psalm, and he goes there, and we listen to that. For 10, 15 minutes on the way back, we are listening to psalms being read aloud in my car through YouTube. And as much as junk as there is out there, I'm thinking, this is a really good thing. And Simon and my other grandkids, your kids, your grandkids need to hear God's Word. And that's one of the benefits of not just being a solo Christian that does your own thing. That's the benefit of hearing God's Word and coming together. We read God's Word. Revelation 1 verse 5 says, or 3 says, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things that are written in it, for the time is near." We read God's Word. We study God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." You study God's Word in a Bible class here at church, in something like a Bible study fellowship, maybe in a life group, maybe a men's or a women's Bible study. There's so many opportunities, but you can also study yourself. There's a lot of tools for that, where it goes beyond just reading a passage and saying, "That was nice." It's taking a minute and saying, "Okay, what do I think this means? How does this apply to me?" You memorize God's Word. Psalm 119, in this same passage that we read, says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? by keeping it according to your word. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. And the Jewish picture of the heart was not just this thing that's beating in your chest. It's the essence of who you are. And oftentimes it included your mind. Memorize God's word. And then the last thing is meditate on God's word. Joshua 1:8 says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." And meditate just means you've read something, you've heard something, and then you start turning it over and over again in your mind. It doesn't mean sitting cross-legged on the floor and burning incense and all of that. That's not necessarily what the Bible was talking about. It's talking about you in your mind, you turn something over and over again, you think about it, you meditate on it. God's word transforms our lives, and we can experience a transforming of our mind through God's word. So you hear it, you read it, you study it, you memorize it, you meditate on God's word. And there are scriptures that I learned, had to memorize as a kid. I probably can't memorize them. I probably can't recite them perfectly accurate, but I can tell you the verse and I know the essence of it. There's value to memorizing God's word and internalizing it, because it's His word and it's His truth. It's what you hear, it's what you read, it's what you study, it's what you put your mind into that transforms your lives. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you just didn't leave us helpless to wander around through this life trying to figure out how we can live fully, how we can know you fully. You've made it clear for us. You've given us your word. And your word is given by inspiration of your spirit. And it's useful for teaching us, for instructing us, for helping us to live righteously. You've given us your word so that our lives can be transformed. I pray that you will help us to take the time in our lives to hear your word and to read your word, to look for opportunities to study your word, whether it's individually or with others. Lord, to just give ourselves that opportunity for your spirit to speak to our minds, and we know that you do that through your word. Thank you for this time together. Keep us safe throughout this week. May we live in a way where we experience your grace, your goodness, your power, your transformation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.